This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, a new San Francisco museum explores how all of us are African. First this, Iraq. U.S. military authorities today say that 10 Marines were killed and 11 more wounded yesterday in a single roadside bomb attack in Fallujah. That's the city in Iraq that's a center of resistance to the American presence in that country. In recent weeks, President Bush has faced questioning about his policies in Iraq and calls for the pullout of U.S. forces. On Wednesday this week, in what was billed as a major policy speech, the president stressed the importance of the U.S. staying in Iraq.
By fighting these terrorists in Iraq, Americans in uniform are defeating a direct threat to the American people. Against this adversary, there is only one effective response. We will never back down, we will never give in, and we will never accept anything less than complete victory.
President Bush speaking on Wednesday. Joining us is NPR senior correspondent and regular day-to-day contributor Juan Williams. Juan, this news today has got to make things even more difficult for the president.
Exactly right, Alex. You know, if you think about all the impact that comes from the president's speech this week, in which he tries to lay out his strategy for winning the war in Iraq, to reassure the American people, to try to get their support, so much of it is defeated when the news coming out of Iraq again is about the death of American soldiers. It just suggests that things aren't going well. In fact, a poll done after the president spoke this week, by CNN USA Today, by the way, indicates that 55% of Americans, even after all the president said, believe he has no plan for victory. 41% say they believe he has some kind of plan. 35% say they want a timetable with clear mileposts for withdrawing U.S. troops. You have a majority, though, 60%, who say let's wait for some level of achievement. And when it comes to how the president is doing personally, again, a majority, 54%, saying that the president's doing a poor job of handling the war. And I think you also have to look at how the Democrats reacted to this speech, Alex. Harry Reid, the Democratic leader in the Senate, said it was just recycled, tired old rhetoric. And you had people like Nancy Pelosi, the House Minority Leader, joining with John Murtha, a leading Democrat on military issues, and saying it's time now to get a clear idea of when U.S. troops would be pulled out.
What are you hearing from Republican members of Congress? How was the speech received there?
Publicly, they're trying to stay with the president and indicate that Democrats are taking political advantage of the fact that so many Americans are unsure, uncomfortable with the way the war is being, war is progressing. But in terms of their own agenda, it's about re-election and fearing that the president and his stand is having a negative impact on the chances for their midterm re-election in 06, but even moving forward towards 08, how the party will do come the next presidential election, that the president may have this vision of a democratic Iraq, but it's a vision that may not be practical and may not be able to be put in place, for 10, 20 years. And they just can't imagine that the American people would maintain political support for it going that far into the future.
Okay, Juan, separate subject. Senator Arlen Specter held a news conference today about the nomination of Judge Samuel Alito to the Supreme Court. This follows the emergence earlier this week of a Reagan-era memo written by Judge Alito. This is the one where he essentially says it should be the policy of the administration to try to overturn the abortion decision Roe v. Wade or chip away at it.
And not exactly overrule, because I think he had the sense even then that they couldn't conduct a frontal attack on Roe v. Wade, but he did say that he was looking for mitigating the effects of Roe v. Wade in the meanwhile, in large part by saying that the states should have the right to set decisions about the terms for abortion in the country or in their jurisdictions. So what you have here then is people like Senator Kennedy, Edward Kennedy, also on the Judiciary Committee, saying there's a credibility gap because Alito didn't mention this memo. And then it ties into two previous events. One is when he was confirmed in 1990 as a federal judge, he promised that he would not rule on the Vanguard Investment Group, where he has accounts. But he did rule then in a 2000 case on Vanguard and has all sorts of explanations for why that occurred. And secondly, that he didn't mention membership in a conservative alumni group at Princeton University that opposed affirmative action for women and minorities in terms of admissions there. So what you have is a sense of the Democrats, people who are opposed to Alito, now having new ground in which to make the case that he does not deserve to be confirmed.
Well, those confirmation hearings are still a month away. There's time for more. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams joins us every Friday. Juan, thank you again.
My pleasure, Alex.